Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Attraction HQ podcast, where we look at love, sex, dating, relationships, how you can have more of them, how they can be better quality, how you can feel inspired and become a better person within yourself by ignoring conventional dating advice, taking outside strategies and perspectives, and striving to become the most real, authentic, honest, and sexiest version of yourself.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of my podcast. It's Hayley Quinn and I am here in, I have to say, the world's hottest, for all the wrong reasons, hotel room in LA, where I've been traveling around doing some meetings and stuff. And honestly, I'm joined by someone. We've just shot a YouTube video together. He's extremely funny. He's a comedian. His name is Jason Frone. And funnily enough, we're here to talk about a serious topic, though. We're here to talk about depression. And I'm saying depression because we know this is the most depressing time of the year. You know, and a lot of you guys are with me out there in the UK. Let's face it, it's rubbish. Everyone is broke after Christmas. No one's making any money. The skies are dark and cloudy and it's raining all the time and it's cold and it's just been Christmas and New Year's and it's soon to be Valentine's Day. Dun, dun, dun. Wow.
I was fine up until I heard that opening. I thought it slipped my wrist now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the problem, is it's so easy, I think, to suddenly find that, you know, like a couple of days have gone by and you're not feeling, or months even, you're not feeling right. So you just did a video, right, about depression.
I did, yeah. I just talked about this on my channel. And, you know, obviously comedians are no stranger to depression. I mean, it's been in the news. We've seen, you know, last year, Robin Williams. So it's certainly something that, you know, for years we've kind of associated comedians with having this, that the funny comes from this dark place. And, you know, I, like you said, you know, opening this, it doesn't, comedian or not, we're like in, you know, the end of January, we just had all of that emotional, you know, that emotional buildup to the holidays, and forget being broke. It's just like, it feels like the rug is swept from under you. And it's like globally after, you know, it's this time of the year, people start to like really go down.
And I think often I spoke a lot about over the Christmas and New Year period, how that is like a confrontational time for people because you're forced to evaluate your year.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And a lot of the time, you know, you don't have a great year. My 2015 sucked. And then you look at it and go, oh my God, or, oh, I'm in the same position I was in last year. You know, Nothing's changed. So you can get a real Groundhog Day sensation.
Right.
Then add into that natural things that make us feel more low energy, like shorter days, colder, rainier weather, and then Valentine's Day. Oh my God.
Shit, instead of the holiday season, they should call it the self-judgment season. Because
exactly.
That's what you wind up doing. You judge yourself, you judge everyone. You're like, these are my friends. My God.
What am I doing?
Oh God, I can't make a decision.
Yeah. But, so I think the first thing, a good thing to establish and be aware of is just how normal it is.
I was just going to say that is such a good point to make, that it, the first thing, because there's this vapid alone feeling that comes with depression, and it's the furthest thing from alone that you could possibly be, because so many people, you might be physically alone, but so many people are experiencing such similar emotions at this time, and sometimes that alone, knowing that you're in this big body of people that are all affected, that in itself can help to alleviate the emptiness that you think you're only experiencing.
Right, because you can get into a state of mind, right, where you're like, it's just me. And
right.
You know what? Social media reinforces that. Because
you go on Facebook, no one goes on there and says, hey, had a shitty day.
Right.
No, they say, let me put the filter on this picture and filter figuratively my life to look like this heightened, oasis of what their life really is. It's not. It's right. A bullshit snapshot, and right. All that does is exacerbate your sadness, going, oh my God.
And you know what? Comparison, isn't that right? Isn't it our comparison-driven culture, which just
very much
pushes
so.
People to feel, again, that self-judgment. I mean, I said, I'm in LA. On paper, this sounds glamorous, right? Because it's like, I'm not in my country. I'm working abroad. Wow, I must be doing well for myself. And it's sunny here. However, truth be told, I was up at 5 o'clock this morning because I was so jet-lagged, couldn't get back to sleep, which meant I rattled around the hotel for like 2 hours, stressed out that somebody hasn't, like some dude hasn't texted me back. Went up to say...
I really hope no one lost anyone recently. You're bitching about jet lag.
Hey, I lost someone recently, actually. Yeah, I'm not joking. I lost my baby last year. So fucking... It's like, don't talk to me about loss. I know loss, like, in a big, big, big way.
When you said
so,
2015 was really tough.
Shit, yeah.
Real shit.
Really, really shit. So, again, like, there you go. It's like, you think you could see me and you'd be like, oh, look at her. She's a woman. She's, like, traveling the world in the sunshine. No. Everyone has bullshit that they have to deal through. Yeah. Everyone. I don't think... No one is not human. No one is immune from that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I was in LA, but I was up early. I was rattling around. I've worked my butt off all day. I felt a bit sad and lonely, like, traveling by myself, because I'm out here for, like, 3 or 4 weeks solo, and whilst that's amazing and I like the headspace a lot of the time, yeah. I do have little patches and moments where I go, oh, actually, it would be quite nice to be with someone.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it like this because I put pictures on Facebook, you know, and I'm so aware of the culture of, like, looking at other people around us, and just, we create a story, right, in our minds. It's not, they don't even have to say they're having a great time. We can just look at it and go,
yeah.
Oh my God, they must be just they're perfect, and they're having a fabulous life, and then, like, I'm just sat here, and I'm struggling, and so part of that is, I think, also to grow some self-awareness. So a little tip that I think is awesome for managing dark, bad thoughts is write them down, because as soon as they're not fluttering around your head and you actually have them physically and tangibly on paper,
yeah.
they become easier to become self-aware of and process.
You know, that's great that you brought that up, because there's, I mentioned I just did that video, and I had this little trick that I used, and I thought, here's basically what I said. You know that little moment where that bell goes off in your head,
right.
and you're like, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not depressed yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're certainly not over the hump, and you're not manic yet. But what I find for myself, and I bet a lot of people could relate to this, is my depression, the catalyst for my sadness usually stems from anger.
Mm-hmm.
Something bothers me. It pisses me off. And I think that's the moment. There's a window, there's this window of time right before. I like to call it the click-click.
Mm-hmm.
Like a roller coaster. Click, click,
right.
click. You don't know how bad, you know, the drop is going to be, but you know it's coming, you know? You know that vroom is coming. And I think when you're right in that real tenuous, precarious click-click moment, what you can do is label the problem out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really important thing to remember, is when you're doing this, you'll have the inkling to judge yourself, because you'd have to remember, that's not the purpose of the activity. The purpose is to simply label the problem so you strip it of its power.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the unknown becomes known, it loses the ability to really affect you as much as when it was an unknown issue.
Right.
And I think that the reason that we slip into that depression is because we gloss over the moment where we get really angry, and instead of labeling and going, oh, that's what's bothering me, that's what's actually pissing me off, I get it, we slide through it. Instead of taking that moment to self-reflect, we go right into depression, we go right into mania, and it's this, you know, this circuitous cycle that we have to break simply by just answering the unknown, because then, you know, then you strip it of its power and you can kind of control it and derail the whole process.
Right. Cause I think what you hit on is something really important, because I think sometimes when you just notice that you're gradually not feeling yourself,
mm-hmm.
even that becomes stressful, because you can just
yes.
see, you can feel that you said the click click and that you're sliding into something. I also want to bring 2 points up quickly about the anger. First of all, a lot of the time, anger masks sadness, because anger is like an easier go-to emotion for lots
sure.
of people than feeling sadness or feeling despair. Also, in your body, I think a lot of the time, there's some emotions that are just primal. Anger is one of them. Like, apes get angry, monkeys get angry, we get angry as well. And you know what? In our civilized society, we're not often allowed to demonstrate our anger or show it.
Or throw shit like or a monkey can.
Yeah. We can't throw shit. We can't thump people. You know, a lot of the time, especially I was saying on our YouTube video, in England, even crying in public is kind of a no-no, you know, for a lot of people. Yeah, like, I don't care. But, like, I think that a lot of people would find it awkward and embarrassing. So instead, what happens is none of these emotions that you're experiencing get processed. You kind of squish them down and you gradually become more tense. So I think another click and a warning sign that I've experienced a lot personally is starting to feel stuff in the body. Like, I'd wake up and my jaw would be clicking, or I'd get jaw ache, or I'd feel loads of tension in my shoulders. And it's because what happens is
when it manifests physically, for sure.
And I actually find that a great fix for me that's actually worked a lot is fixing the body, which has then helped to fix the frame of mind. So that could be physical massage.
Really?
Yeah, really good massage, yoga, yin yoga, like very, not like stressful yoga, deep stretches, physical movement. Sometimes ones just to relax out your jaw.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but it really works.
My brother says when he's really pissed off, he'll go to the gym.
Yeah.
He goes to the gym and he's not nearly as angry when he walks out of there.
Right.
It's a natural endorphin. You are forcing a chemical change, which is wonderful.
And the other thing I've done as well is, like, this again sounds a bit crazy cray.
No.
But it's really worked for me is if you want to, like, obviously in your own comfort of your own home and private space, you know what, first of all, if you want to, like, have a big cry, do it. Also, I've been known to howl. I think I was joking about this with you earlier. Howling, but actually expressing the animal emotion, like crawling around
the
place.
You cry on a different level. You've said weep, howl, cry.
Oh, yeah, but I go for it because otherwise I feel like honestly, if I'm feeling really, like, a lot of pain, I think it's so much better to have some expression for that than to try and sit there and be like, I'm fine. You know? And then actually you're not fine. You're not fine at all. There needs to be some, and actually I think emotions pass, which is fantastic, but they pass much more swiftly if you let them be. It's like if you feel sad, you know, and this is my tip if you feel sad, if at all possible, turn your phone off, turn your computer off, and go and sit down or lie down for a bit and go, I'm sad. You know what? Because then the emotion will come up to the surface and then it will go and pass. I think we do a lot of distraction, which actually, you know, through skimming through Instagram or whatever, that isn't positive.
Yeah, I liked what you said. You mentioned that anger is such an easy animalistic thing to go to. Mm. And I also noticed that when you, a connection that a lot of people miss and they don't realize this is a huge part of it is the more self-acceptance you truly have, the less you notice depression starts creeping up on you.
Right.
And it's, again, that anger guy. Because, like, I gave an example on a video not too long ago where, you know, sometimes when somebody pisses you off and angers you, and you're not sure at the moment why.
Right.
Sometimes I think subconsciously you're recognizing a trait in yourself.
Yes.
That you can't stand. And this person's doing it and seemingly okay with being that kind of person. So now you're like, fuck you for being okay. And you don't walk in the room and say, I hate me.
Right.
You say, I hate you for doing that. And then you walk out and you have to realize, you know, something that I've tried to learn and especially take into this year with me is people give you more than enough reasons to hate them. You don't have to hate them for your shit. That's not fair to them, and it's certainly not fair to you. Instead, get over it, accept and love the flaws, and all of a sudden you don't seem to care as much that you have them.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, I think that's so true that it's a mirror. People and relationships, they are a mirror to you. They are teaching you something quite often about yourself.
Totally.
So if you're becoming aggravated with someone, also, since when did someone who that was having a great life, who was super happy, super content, really relaxed, stable, since when do they need to be angry at anyone? You know, I often actually use that as a trigger if someone's being hostile towards me or I feel they're being unreasonable. A good way to evoke empathy and actually to let that situation go is to go, this person has to be in some pain. They are not a happy person right now, because otherwise they would have no need to do that. You know, and actually if you start to see behind the wall of the emotions, it will process things more smoothly, because letting stuff go, honestly, I think that whilst you have to process it, let it out, talk it through, experience the emotions, some life events you have, they change your DNA, you are not the same afterwards. You also, like, I think, have to be a pro at letting shit go, which means that if you hold a grudge towards someone,
right,
who are you hurting?
Letting things go and including the concept of accepting that depression is a normal part of life.
Yes.
And that whole I think that a big part of combating depression is people need to change their thinking about the concept.
Mm-hmm.
So often I get the question from, you know, my audience asking, how do I avoid depression? You don't avoid it. You get better at handling it.
Right.
Because part of being a balanced person is, as much as we enjoy and accept the emotions of love and happiness in our life, depression is also part of that realm of human emotion. And without it, you are unbalanced. Even if you don't, you need some of the negative emotion to have the positive emotion,
right,
and enjoy the good periods. And you don't want to try to avoid anything. It's almost like the diet concept when you wipe out an entire no carbs. It's like no depression. This shit doesn't work.
Right.
Eat in moderation and deal with your depression effectively, and you'll be a better person for it.
Yeah, I think it's so important that you brought up that we have a culture as well which drives towards this expectation that we all should be super happy and super successful all the time.
It's so unrealistic.
It's so unrealistic. Also, what would happiness be if there wasn't depression or sadness or moments like that?
It wouldn't exist, because you wouldn't realize it was different.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, again, it's like, no, we have to challenge and question how we're, I think exactly you're right, the lens and the paradigm through which we see things like depression.
Totally.
And actually that passage of going, this is normal, or this is fine, you know? I'm going to deal with it every day. I'm not joking, folks. My alarm, you know when you have, like, you can put a little, like, name on your alarm? My alarm is named, it doesn't get better, you get better. That's it. Which is like, you know what, mate? It's like, you're in for a fight here. Like, you know what? Life is not easy.
You know, we got off the elevator right here on your floor. And remember, there was that neon sign. See you on the other side?
Yeah.
And I said to you, I went, oh my God, this is kind of sad. But I remember I had a friend who was very depressed. And I said that to him, and it pissed him off. And I went, no. I was saying that, like, see you on the other side. Like, this is a cycle. You're going to be okay. I know where you are in the cycle. I'll see you on the other side. And I think just getting to that other side, people can sometimes find shortcuts without removing the process altogether.
Right. And I think one of the best things I learned through last year as well is patience.
I have none of those.
I know.
Oh my God. I have none of those.
I know. It's really hard. But honestly, it's like, I remember my other nan telling me, you know, patience is a virtue. And I was like, oh my God, patience is the most boring of the virtues. But now I kind of get it. I'm like, actually, sometimes you go, I feel crap. And you know what? There's not an immediate end to the feeling of rubbishness. I feel so sad.
Yeah.
But the thing is, things do shift. But you have, like, time is the healer. It's the classic. It's so annoying. But a lot of the time you have to go, well, things don't stay permanently at any space, you know, they just don't. Your life experience, where you're at. So you know what, if you're not enjoying today, if you're not loving it, that doesn't mean that you're resigned to a lifetime of feeling like that. You know,
no.
things do naturally shift around. We are guaranteed change in our lives.
That's true, yeah.
So a lot of the time it's about waiting for something positive to happen. And I know, because some days I went through it and I was like, I was so desperate for something positive to happen, either like a good career thing or a good thing in my relationship space. I was like, literally, like, I need a lifeline. Give me a lifeline because I think I'm going to break. But amazingly, somehow, though I'm still not 100% by any stretch, I can see that day to day you get a little bit. This my mum was telling me. He's like, you get a little bit better every day. There's like a little, you get that little reprieve, and suddenly that reprieve gets longer and longer and longer and longer, and then you will be over the other side. You know.
You know what else is pretty good too is when you're not depressed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's better to attack some of those unknown questions.
Yeah.
Because you're coming from such a more positive mindset. When you start to try to solve your depression and you're already in a black hole,
mm-hmm.
chances are the first 12 hours of solving, you're just going to be fucking yourself harder.
Right.
And digging deeper.
And I think that's the conscious, here's what I think, it's the conscious mind. Often when it goes into problem solving mode, it doesn't work. Because I think depression is a feeling, it's ephemeral, right? It's in the body, it's emotional. So I think I would try and work on shifting your emotional state rather than consciously fixing all the problems.
And remember, you know, like when you're feeling good and you're at a good place during your day or your week or your life or wherever you are, and you've got some spare time, there's no reason to just be like, hey, you know, because you could, you know, you remember things throughout your week that bothered you more than you remember the things that made you feel good.
Yes, that's psychologically proven.
And if you go through, and I was thinking of that the other day, I told my mother, because my memory of childhood is not that great, but I tell you one thing, I can't remember some friends you tell me like I had and would have sleepovers. I can't remember these people, but the teachers that gave me detention, I could draw these bitches' faces from memory, you know? And you know, even on a week's, just taking like the last 7 days, if you think back when you're feeling good, why did that piss me off?
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to that moment, and because you're in a good place now, if you skimmed over it then, you can still fix it before it hits you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes you down. So,
and
you don't have to be sad to think about your depression and fix a future issue.
Right. And I think that's actually, it's a human brain tendency. I think it was just honestly just, it's meant to be there to protect us. We remember bad and we attribute more importance in our minds to bad things rather than good things. And that's because we obviously want to protect ourselves. We don't want to put ourselves in situations where we become vulnerable. Now, I'm going to sound like a terrible hippie, but I just wanted to make one last point before we wrap this one up, which is also, I know this is a horrible thing to say, but honestly, you have to take pleasure in the small stuff sometimes. Sometimes, as I've learned, your life can be such a mess on all of the big fronts, whether that's like living space, relationships, friendships, health, money, all of that can be in tatters, but there can be actually a beauty in these little things that you didn't appreciate before, like so many silly things like flowers or like actually having a phone call with one person like your mom or a really good friend.
Even little milestones that you've had. You know, so often I found myself like I would say, oh, I'll be happy when.
Right.
I'll be happy when this happens and when this happens. And you know what happens when you get to where you said you'd be happy? You're looking at the next finish line going, well, this is clearly shit. I need to be over there. And that was my whole last year. My career kept doing better and better. And my agent, my manager, my family, everyone's like, what is wrong? Why can't you celebrate anything that happened? And you have to, like I'm not a big resolution guy. But now that we're in 2016 and this podcast is still new in the year, is my thing that I'm doing is I'm being nicer to myself.
Right.
And as hippie as that might sound, I'm being nicer to me because I was really the hardest person on me. And I think a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
You know, like, can you imagine everyone out there if somebody ever treated you the way you treat you sometimes?
Right.
I know murder's illegal. I'd kill me if I was someone else and I said and I acted and I thought the way I did about my accomplishments that are legitimate reasons to celebrate life.
Yeah.
I would not put someone down like that. Why do I do it to me?
Right.
And I think when you stop doing that, when you're nicer, the whole world seems nicer.
Exactly.
To you.
Right, and it kindness and love.
And I got news for you. They didn't change.
Right.
You know, they're certainly not nicer. You are.
Right.
So, do that.
Yeah. And it's so true. And it's just one last point as well, guys. I'm so pleased you said that, actually, because I've literally been kicking my butt all this week. Like, oh, you know, that, you know, it's like, I was so lucky this week. And why I'm in America is I was flying out to do a TED event for the University of Nevada.
Nice.
I'm like, that's amazing. And actually, you know, I've just been, been stressing the whole week going, oh my God, I can't remember. I think I was too nervous. And I'm like, just hearing you said that is made me go, what the fuck, Hayley? Like,
yeah,
hang on.
Imagine if someone else said that to you.
I would have punched them.
Yeah. You'd say, that's great. And you wouldn't say it's no big deal. Like, it is a big deal.
Right. So it's like, we're all stuck. And honestly, it's never about mastering the outside world. It's about mastering the internal world. And sometimes life does not give you an easy lot, but you have to learn these little hacks. And honestly, as you say as well, with things shifting around and celebrating small things, I remember my mum, you know, when I was getting out of my really bad life patch, my mum was like, oh, good, you've only cried for 5 minutes today. That's really positive.
Nice.
You know, and actually there was a truth in that. You have to mark every little step of victory and recovery.
Right.
For me, I didn't eat right for like, I could only eat pizza for like 6 weeks, genuinely every other week. And when I started to eat.
You were on a strict pizza diet, were you?
Yeah, I was so depressed and so sad and so overwhelmed with grief. The only thing I wanted to eat was just rubbish food. And when I actually started, when I started to feel like, oh, you know what, I'll actually cook myself a nice meal. Yeah. That was like, okay, that is, it's doesn't seem significant, but that is a step.
It's a sign.
It's a sign. Like, it's like, you know, rains are returning to the lands.
Here you go. You get that, I'm back.
Yeah. So you do come back to life. So I wish we could, you know what, like I've got to do another interview out here. So I'm going to have to end the podcast, but I've loved talking to you. I think you're so wise on this subject.
Thank you.
How can they find out, how can they find that YouTube video where you discuss this more?
I think my channel is YouTube/Jason Ferrone. And, I think I named it Trick Depression or something like that.
Right.
Trick and Depression is in the title.
Right. But,
yeah, it's a very recent one, and there's a few that are kind of in that vein that could help people.
Okay, amazing. Well, as ever, thank you so much for listening. If you're suffering from the blues at this miserable time of year, I hope this has helped you. If anything, to feel like you are not alone. I will be back again next week with another podcast. As always, I do this for free. So if you know someone that could benefit from this advice or you like it, please
share. Everybody could.
Yeah, right? It's like live advice.
Depression, I think of as like...
touches everyone, right?
Well, not only that, it's kind of like an out-of-town fuck buddy. You know, it's not always here, but when it is, he's coming for you.
And on that bombshell,
yeah.
you'll see from our YouTube clips that we always have to end on a dramatic note.
Yeah.
And that was the one today. So please share, please subscribe, please comment, and I'll be back again next week with another podcast for you.
Thank you for listening to my podcast today. If you want to find out more about me, please head to HayleyQuinn.com/club, where I have a free 30-day membership available for you to my exclusive subscribers club. You can also catch up with me on YouTube at HayleyQuinnXX, on Instagram as HayleyQuinnX, and on Twitter as plain old Hayley Quinn. I'd love to hear your feedback on the show. Please engage with me. Please reach out. And thank you again for your support.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.